Hello, welcome back to Imperfect Parenting with my beautiful wife, Brittany, and me, Ben. We're well into season 5 now. I was just making sure they knew who we were. I'm like, who's this guy?
I guess
it's us again. We're back. Mm-hmm. It's good to be here. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining. I just talked to a couple recently. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep talking for a minute. I have the mic, so you let me start. I just talked to a couple that said they just discovered this podcast. And they're in some crisis. They need some help. So they listened, like they binged listened, I guess, or binge watched or something, a couple of seasons. And they said it's really helpful and it's working. So I thought we should keep doing this.
Okay.
It's great.
That's great.
All right.
You're all done now?
Help me.
I'm not. No need for help. I just was laughing. You're just having a good old time. Just going. Just hanging out, you know?
It's just happy to be here.
You usually are. So yeah. That's why you're excited. Okay, well, let's jump into our meme. I was laughing because we were laughing on the way over here of a bunch of different random, videos of different things. Mm-hmm. But we listened to Seinfeld.
Yes.
Something from Seinfeld, which, I mean, our kids don't even know what that is. I mean, they know what it is because of us, but they would have no. I think the generation that they're aware of as far as something that's equivalent is The Office.
Yes.
So that's what they would call their Seinfeld.
I was going to say this one goes out to Ashley.
Yes.
But
it's dedicated to Ashley. Dedicated to the office.
This meme is dedicated to Ashley.
That's it.
She can quote most of the seasons. Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't catch on yet, it's the picture is Michael and he's kind of blocking his hands and he is going to say something. But the words above says, when you tell your kids it's bedtime, but your husband tells them they can have 5 more minutes. And so Michael's looking at probably Toby saying, I'll kill you. Because sometimes that's just how it feels.
I mean, not in our house ever.
Ever. Never no, has it ever once not. Been that way.
Said Ben sarcastically.
Uh-huh. Well, what happens now is you can go right ahead and give him 5 more minutes. I'm just going to bed.
I'll tell you what happens. At this point, we're in bed before they are often.
Always. I'm like, okay, put yourself to bed, please.
Yeah. You're tired tomorrow.
So that's what you get to look forward to, parents of toddlers. Eventually, they will put themselves asleep and you get to go to bed first. Yay.
I actually went to bed recently, a few nights ago, I think it was. And I was about to fall asleep and I thought, I should go check on the kids. Just see what they're doing. And they'd all put themselves to bed. Yeah. And they're in bed and they're falling asleep. And like, look at that. It's working.
We also recently were watching a movie in bed and I fell asleep at 8:30. And I thought, how old am I?
I think it was maybe 5 minutes into the movie. Yeah, that happened. Let's watch a movie together, Brittany. Yeah, I'd love to.
The best part, too, is we were searching for a while to find a movie. Hey. And I asked, you want to watch this one? You're like, yeah, that looks good. And then the next morning you tell me, I already saw that one. So you willingly watched a movie that you had already seen and then I fell asleep 5 minutes into it. And then you turned it off and put it away because it was on my laptop. And I'm like, what time is it? And you're like, it's 9:00. I'm not even 40 yet, guys. And I'm going to bed at 8:30. It's great.
It's cute.
Okay. Well, it kind of flows into our topic for today, which is how does marriage affect your parenting? A lot.
It doesn't.
It does a lot. Massive. I have often said that the culture of your marriage is really the overflow of the culture of your family. And so what's going on in your marriage is going to impact the dynamic of your family life. And so to think you can get away with being dysfunctional or disconnected or toxic and it not have any impact here is a lie. Yeah. A hard story that just happened is friends going through something and, you know, marriage is pretty disconnected and incredibly painful. And they are trying to just live kind of cordial, if you will. But what's starting to happen is the child is now picking up little exchanges of, oh, disrespect is something that the adults do to each other. So I get to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm really kind of getting at as the overarching thing to be aware of is the way you talk to your spouse will show up in your kids. the way that you talk about them will show up in the level of respect that your kids bring. The, you know, if I am frustrated at you and I go talk to the girls about it, well, they're going to have that filter of you, you know, if you did the same. So this is why paying attention to your marriage culture is really important. If you want to have a family culture that is respectful, connected, vulnerable, safe, I mean, those things all really matter.
Yeah, I think the way that I heard it years ago that I've just held onto and love is culture flows from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about marriage feels kind of like the executive team in the business. Is, you know, we're the
it's
ones.
SLT.
What do I stand for again? Senior Leadership Team. Yeah. There we go.
It's Bethel's team.
SLT.
That's what we've heard for years.
Exactly. Yeah. In the marriage, we essentially are the ones who are setting the tone, who are what gets rewarded is mm-hmm. is decided in the executive team. What components of our culture are really important on accident or on purpose are decided in the executive team, and that's going to flow down.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's not being paid attention to, or we're not being intentional there, and we're trying to figure out, why is it so messy? Why is this happening? Why is disconnection allowed? Why is disrespect happening?
Mm-hmm.
It's because we haven't actually solved the problem in the marriage first.
Yeah.
And we I think we started that way.
Oh, we absolutely did start that way.
I mean, I don't think. I know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, when, where were you?
When children...
I was there. It was not working.
I was absent. My body was there, but my mind was absent.
Early days of us was a lot. It was a lot. I mean, I think my parents always say that, like, 12 years, and one of my mom says 12, my dad says 12, my mom says 15, which seems accurate for the two of their personalities. But we probably had 5 to 7 of a lot.
5 or 7?
I'm going to say 7. You'll probably say 5. But it was that place of we were both a little scared of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Delaney almost right after we got married. So we had our 1-year anniversary and I was pregnant. So that we welcomed her in right after that. And we did a lot of talking down. I would say, I'll speak from, I did a lot of talking down. You did a lot of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, if what just we talked about before, alive. The authoritarian and the passive. I mean, and so I didn't know how to empower you because I was so afraid of what I was seeing. And so I ultimately, in a lot of ways, I kind of started to remove you as a respected leadership role. That's mm-hmm. what I did.
Yep.
And you kind of said, okay. And I'll, you know, from, I'm probably the strategic, I think, details of everything. So how we would pack the diaper bag, you know, I would erupt on you when you would forget the extra onesie that's supposed to be in the diaper bag, or when you didn't put the backup wipes in that special compartment, or, you know, and I just had every reason to punish you yeah. when you didn't do what I thought was best, which is how we lived in the early days. And that's what the girls especially saw was it was my way of doing it and you had to obey me. Which, you know, when then the question of to obey your dad, why would they?
Mom doesn't.
Exactly. Mother, dad just obeys mom. Like there's, you almost got.
Well, it's respect.
Yeah.
Not obedience, but I get what you're saying.
I mean, that's kind of
totally
how I
that's
treated
how it translates
that.
To the kids. Yeah. Yeah. I think the flip side for me is I didn't know how to confront you.
Mm-hmm.
And confrontation isn't, let me challenge you so I can be in charge.
Yeah.
Confrontation is, let me have a face-to-face and actually build a heart-to-heart connection to where you get to hear the impact you're having on me and I get to show up as an assertive partner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that.
Mm-mm.
I didn't bring that.
Mm-mm.
And so we just were in this loop. We were dizzy from going round and round in the cycle. And...
You spin my head right round. Right. Oh, no.
If we need to, Ashley can sing that in a minute for us. But
thank you.
But it's such a big deal, and I think this is why we have so much emphasis on marriage. Mm-hmm. When we talk about families and parenting, and this is our thing we bring everywhere we go, marriage is really high on the list, because if you haven't solved this problem, if you haven't worked this thing out, it is flowing into your culture, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
It's the headwaters.
Yeah. Introducing the Mindset Tapestry, a game-changing way to boost your child's confidence and positivity. It's self-affirming mirror talk for kids, blending the affirmation tags and caregiver cards. It's easy to use and full of love. It strengthens the bond between caregivers and children. I love their mission, to raise a future generation of children to be authentic, purposeful, and to have a foundation of mental wellness throughout their development of their life and into adulthood. You can get a 10% discount by going to themindsettapestry.co and using the code Brittany10. That's Brittney10 at checkout. So go ahead and head on over to the Mindset Tapestry and get your 10% off today by using the code Brittany10. And we grew a lot and confronted this when we grew in self-awareness. That was so much of how we found victory, of understanding each other, becoming, seeing value for each other. And then we grew in our vision and pursuit and partnership together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we worked at Bethel forever, and we talk about that. And then when we moved to Sacramento area, which I know, surprise, surprise, guys, we've been living in Sacramento for the last 10 years. And a lot of people still think we live in Redding. We yeah. don't. We live now on a farm in the middle of kind of nowhere Sacramento area. So not Redding. Just to tell you.
We interrupt this normal programming to tell you.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. We didn't live in Redding anymore.
when we moved, we got completely confronted with the partnership we had with the culture we were in with Bethel, was kind of our community, because of who we worked with, our kids' community, our spiritual growth, their spiritual growth. When all that was stripped away, it was just you and I. And so there was a lot of, when it was just you and I before, we tried to kill each other. I tried to control you, mm-hmm. and we don't want to do that again. So it was this moment of, that was probably the biggest time that I can remember that we actively made a decision of becoming this unified front of pursuing a culture we want to see thrive in our home. And always the first thing I think about that we did that turned our attention to prioritizing time with our family, fun, and because none of us really had friends, mm-hmm. and we were on this journey of trying to figure it out, is we went and bought a Six Flags membership,
yep.
Which was a big purchase for us, you know. Six Flags is like the awkward cousin of Disneyland. It's not quite as fun.
Disneyland's
it's
distant.
Like everything's chipping in the paint, and yeah, is it legal to have those animals in that small plant? I don't
is
know.
That but, food you
know,
edible?
Did we support that a little bit? So sorry for those. I do love animals, but that's what we did. We went to Six Flags, SeaWorld, or whatever its partnership is, and we went down there like every single weekend,
yep.
for a year. It felt like. And that, I do think that little season of us trying to figure out what are we going to do, you know, it was good for us because we had traffic. You and I had to figure out how to drive together, which really meant how do I be a passenger princess and not be freaking out at your driving.
Are we going there right now?
Only if you want to. I'm just saying that.
You can move on. Just checking. Just checking how much you like me to share about that.
The other part of, you know, letting the kids explore risk and fun, somewhat staying on a budget as we yep. kind of went on this adventure.
So money and driving and communication.
And that definitely topics. Probably determined if we were ever going to have sex by the time we got home, because how much did we find on the way? Sex, money, and communication. And you say driving. Yeah. Those are all the big crushers of marriage right there. But we had this shared goal of what we wanted to cultivate in our family. and also us being the leaders together.
Yep.
And I just remember that felt like such a huge expression in that season.
Yeah. Two thoughts there. That shared goal piece, I think, is so vital. And if families, if couples need help, if you're listening to this and you are married, and when we say go find a shared goal, and you say back to us in your car as you're driving along, whatever you're doing, like,
yes,
what does that mean?
I wonder what else they say back to us in their car.
Move on, Ben. Weird jokes. Yeah, no, they didn't say that.
Never.
They love it.
They do.
Ashley likes it. So that's all I need.
I do a lot.
But the shared goal piece is go ask for help. Maybe it's a friend or a pastor or a leader in your life or something. Like, hey, help us have this conversation to get to a place where we're looking at the same thing. We might get there differently. We have different perspectives on it, which is really helpful. And I'm learning to value the difference, but we need to find a shared goal. Mm-hmm. So we're actually moving in the same direction, leading our children the same place. I think the other piece, I was thinking about this move we made to Sacramento. And I was with a group of my friends last night, Dragon Slayers. Mm-hmm. Quick plug. There's a book out. But I've been meeting with these guys for 2 years, monthly.
Yep.
And one of my closest friends in that group, he said this phrase, and he's describing one of the hardest seasons he went through. And he said, I'm actually really thankful I hit rock bottom because it introduced myself to me. And I could now do something with it. Now, it wasn't drugs. It wasn't, you know, it was just an emotional rock bottom for him where he was depressed. He was stuck. He was scared. Mm-hmm. And he had to do some really hard work and make some really hard decisions, which I think is where this often leads, is if I've been doing it wrong, I have to get to a point where I'm done. And I'm actually now ready to change. You can say you want to change all you want, but you'll know when you're actually ready. Mm-hmm. And it can feel like that hitting rock bottom piece. But what my friend was saying last night is that actually became a gift. Mm. Is it put a mirror in front of me and went, okay, I think I'm ready to change now. And the way he asked for help changed, the way he invited community in, and the way he began to lead on the other side of that was different. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be encouraging.
Rock bottom. Yeah, it's encouraging.
And I'm not sure I would describe that season for us as rock bottom.
No,
but it was an introduction to where we actually were, what was really going on in our lives.
I guess you could call it rock bottom in that we were stripped of our community.
There we go.
So that it was a version of rock bottom in that one area, which required us to see what are you going to do with this. Yeah. You could have a pity party.
Right.
You could become a victim and whine and complain. And we were connected enough to be able to look at this time and go, what do we want to do with this?
Yes.
Because we may never get this space back again. And, you know, what happened in that time frame is, you know, Delaney was kind of confronted at school with some bullying stuff. She, we had to walk through that with her, which we had never done before. Mm-hmm. What did that look like? Both her and Adeline started showing signs of kind of just struggling with school. So they both ended up with some versions of an IEP or different things like that, where we had to confront just learning disabilities and assess that, which is a tension point for, oh my gosh, my child's failing and I failed them, which when I internalize their failing means I've failed, which then I go into self-protection, which we can talk about that in another episode. Typically, I then I'm looking for a bad guy because I feel powerless. And that tends to be our spouse. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened in those seasons when those things were confronted. I remember Lincoln, you know, I was working and you were going to school. And so he had to go to daycare. And his daycare, that just didn't, something didn't feel right. Something felt off. He would cry. He was terrified when I would drop him off. And I just had this check in my spirit. Like, I don't think this is okay. I think there's something going on here. And I remember sitting in the car and I drove like across the street and parked because for some reason it felt like, you know, that was enough. And I called you and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I was so grateful that felt like I could call you. Like, I didn't call my mom. I called you as this first place of, you know, confronting some really hard things because we had this partnership and it ended up where there was a lot of shady stuff happening in that daycare. And I mean, I maybe did kind of shut it down, but you know, I'm not mad maybe about it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then we found a really great other option, but all of those moments, had we been disconnected, you would have been seen probably more as my enemy than my advocate and my ally. And I would have, you know, probably felt protective of the kids and limited your involvement. But you and I were so connected and we had such a great goal, shared goal together. We faced all of those in a new location, new season, new resources, with linked arms.
Yeah. And that, and that for us happened because we got put into a situation where it required adjustment. It required us to either do something different or just go back into survival mode and make a mess of this new season.
Yeah.
And I don't think you necessarily have to have a big change in your life. Yeah. This might just be a few intentional adjustments of, okay, I can now see where we're potentially going. Do we want to stay in that on that track? Or do we want to make some decisions that gets us moving in this direction?
Right.
First in our marriage.
Yeah.
First in this relationship that's most important. So what's flowing from us is what we want for our family.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is why knowing that, you know, your marriage does have a big impact on the parenting. And so, you know, you said this before, we talk a lot about marriage and there's single parents out there and I know that. But this isn't necessarily not for you, because if you go back into a marriage someday, what do you want to do differently? And so, you know, like you said, if you're not at rock bottom, well, let's look at what do I want to do differently? And you have to be willing to make the change to reprioritize so you can actually have the culture that you want for your family. But it has to start in your marriage first.
Yeah.
That's what feels true about this. So.
Agreed.
You want to send him home?
Go home. There's no place like home. Yeah, I think this one feels like a big one. There's so many marriage resources out there. There's lots of places to figure out how to get reconnected. Jason and Lauren Valentin. It's hard to say. Barry and Lori Byrne. The Silks and Circles. I mean, there's too many to even list.
The Gottman Institute. They've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
XO Ministries.
Yep.
I mean, those are all the ones that I've picked up different pieces here and there, but.
Yeah, so the list keeps going. So there's not really an excuse to not learn and grow. Mm-hmm. It's just, are you ready?
Yeah.
So that's our challenge. Thanks for showing up today. We're building culture on purpose around here.
We are.
That's what we're doing. See you next time.